Good morning and welcome each. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus be upon us. Those who can, let's stand for prayer. Our loving Father, this morning we come before you, we bow our hearts, we open our hearts, and we desire to learn from you and from your word. Thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray that the testimony that was left yesterday might bring forth fruit unto eternal life. Now, dear Father, would you guide the service this day, guide my heart, my thoughts, that I might truly lift up the Lord Jesus and be a faithful servant until he comes again. In his name we pray. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the hands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry with soul with goodness. Such as sat in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and error. And I think we'll stop there. And that recurring verse, and this is in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Certainly, God is good. We say it. We experience it. And yet, I pondered in my own heart. How does it affect me? How does it affect my life? I'm thankful for the testimony which Brother Galen gave about yesterday. I'm hoping to hear some more testimonies this morning of the goodness of God. And what, you know, he does not only bless those who hear, he blessed those who share and those who went. As I pondered, I wasn't able to go for varied reasons, but as I pondered the trip to New York, I did some reminiscing. And I don't believe there are many here today who were along that time when there was a bus accident. How many were along then? Three of us, or if I counted right. Well, I shall never forget that. And so I replayed that in my mind, in my heart. I was not a member at Charity, but I was a hurting person and a seeker. And anyway, I forget all the details, but I was along on that bus. And we were approaching a toll booth, if I remember correctly. And sitting beside me was Brother Denny. We were deep in discussion, sharing our hearts. And suddenly, we learned we have no brakes. And we were, I don't know what speed it was, but it was moving right along. And the next thing we know, there were cars flying. I can still see those cars. Boom, one bumped into another like toys were being pushed aside. And Brother Denny stood to his feet and he cried out to God. He said, in the name of Jesus, stop this bus. Well, many things were happening. And then the bus if I have it correct, and Brother Moses, the rest might remember, but it started sliding along the guardrail and slowing down. And down below here to our right, there was I forget what kind of a drop, but a big drop. And it was quite a momentous time. And I think if I remember correctly, again, there were roughly 15 cars were involved. And we get out of the bus, and there was an MT in our bus, and he was out trying to help people and so forth. We never did get to New York City that time. God always has His ways. His ways are perfect and right. And then the bus was impounded and a helicopter flew in to take the most serious, flown to a hospital some distance away. And then we were able to get, if I remember, at least one bus and maybe some vans or two buses. I don't know the details anymore. But so this was, a lot of things went on, a lot of things going on in our hearts, a lot of thoughts. We were thankful that we were not hurt, but there were people who were hurt. Then we finally were on the bus. Were you in the bus on the way back, or were you in the van or on the other? You were in the bus. And so we were. So many things happened that I remember so vividly. First thing that happened on the bus, the back window just shattered. It didn't fall out, but it just, for no reason, as we know, it just shattered, all right? We kept on going, and then these buses were from the game in school. Then the tread started to loose. Anyway, we had to get off, and we had to buy another tire. It took a little while for all that to take place. Then we were on our way again. You know, there was much discussion and much going on in our hearts. Then later on, the bus stopped, and it wouldn't start. It wouldn't start. Now I was from a little more retiring background church-wise. So some of the brothers after a while, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'm just simply reporting, I'm a reporter now, they laid their hands on the hood of the bus and prayed. Well, it did start. And, you know, God has His ways. You remember those details? And you remember that? You don't remember that? Oh, it was, you know, it stood out to me like a red flag. I'm not a red flag, but it stood out. Well, then I had some close friends that were with me. They were teen people at that time, and you know them. They're close friends now. Lamar and Miriam were along. They were seeking, and so we left them off somewhere so they wouldn't need to go the whole way over to where we parked the bus and back to their home. Well, there were so many things that happened that it was an unforgettable time. And of course, I remember some of the things, we won't go into them right now, that Brother Danny and I shared together. But that was my first experience of attempting to go to New York on a bus trip. Before that, I went up pretty often to Times Square to help pass out tracts with Gerald Kilmer in a group. In fact, I was up there when I came back. Yeah, pardon me for getting off on this bunny trail, but these are thoughts that came to me then. I was up there when I get back. There was a note that my wife had gone. So there are a lot of things associated with New York. Well, I'm trusting that the blessing of your going up there helped some people from the east and the west and the north and from the south as they shared Jesus. And I'm jealous that I wasn't along, that I didn't hear the children playing and didn't see and have the time to visit. But anyway, we're only one person and we can't be two places at one time. Psalm 119, 67 to 68. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Now notice the next phrase. Thou art good and doest good. Referring to God. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. In Psalm 145, 8 to 11. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. Now, I hope you're hearing a recurring word. And His tender mercies are over all His works. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. And thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. There are some scriptures that we tend to read more often, perhaps. And I was just reading some time back, started in the beginning of Genesis, and I just couldn't get stopped. I read on up through. But the very first part, in the, after he, God created, after each one of the days, what did he say? And God saw that it was good. And then, of course, the capstone of it all. And he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Well, is there anything that God does that isn't good? Of course not. Who is God? I don't know, did anyone ask you yesterday? Who is God? What would you say? What comes to your mind when you think about God? And Tozer has said this, without doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God, and the weightiest word in any language is the word for God. Now, if you were to ask a Muslim, if you were to ask a Hindu, if you were to ask a Spiritist, who is God? We would have different responses. But now, we don't do that this morning. But in your heart, in your mind, who is God? Now, I know a very simple statement that I learned as a child, and it is good, but it's not complete. God is our kind Heavenly Father. And indeed He is. He's our kind Heavenly Father. Well, today, I don't think any of you here ever bowed down to an idol. Of course not. But you know, we can have other idols. We can have other distractions that allure our hearts and our mind and our time. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. It begins in the mind and may be present where no overt act of worship has taken place. Paul said this, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I'm going to give you just briefly a list of many attributes of God. And we're going to speak of one this morning. I've already used the word referring to it several times. Some attributes of God: the self-existence of God, Lord of all beings. Thou alone canst affirm, I am that I am. He needs no support. He needs no proof. He needs nothing. He is self-sufficient. Sometimes we become self-sufficient, and that's altogether wrong. I missed the first one. The self-existence of God. Lord of all beings, thou alone can affirm, I am that I am. The eternity of God. Now, these are attributes of God, and I'm going to be sharing briefly about one. I don't want to take too much time. I want to hear some testimonies. The eternity of God. Thine eternity, O Ancient of Days, art thou not from everlasting. God's infinitude means God's limitlessness. The immutability of God. In thee we find no variableness nor shadow of turning. Immutable, cannot change. The divine omniscience. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising, and art acquainted with all my ways. The wisdom of God. The idea of God as infinitely wise is at the root of all truth. He is wise. I mean, there is no truth beside Him. Now, often in a group like probably were around you yesterday, there are those who challenge that. But nevertheless, God is the root of all truth. The omnipotence of God. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard Thee say, I am the Almighty God. The divine transcendence. He is exalted far above the created universe, so far above that human thought cannot imagine it. And yet, we can be drawn to God. We can know Him. We can worship Him. God's omnipresence. God is everywhere, here, close to everything, next to everyone. The faithfulness of God. Upon God's faithfulness, our whole hope of future blessedness. The goodness of God. The goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings He daily bestows upon us. And then, just briefly, the justice of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, and the sovereignty of God. Now, this isn't all compassing, but those are attributes of God. This morning, we want to narrow in on one, and that is the goodness of God. Different languages have different effect. I hear Brother Moses and some other people, they use German sometimes because they are familiar with it. It seems to have a little extra punch. Well, there's a phrase in Creole that, we can say it in English, but it just seems like it means more to me in Creole. And that is, moi pas mérite rien. I don't deserve anything. We don't. We don't deserve anything. And yet, sometimes we respond as if it's our right. Now, digressing just a little bit, but yet on the target, a deep concern that I have down in Haiti is the danger of creating or continuing a dependency. And after a while, the people who are given and given and given, they get to thinking, well, you know, you owe that to me. You are the, in quotes, the wealthy or the rich white man. You have it. You owe it. But, and that's a dangerous thing for them. But all of us can take for granted so much. When you think of all the blessings that God gives, we'll touch on that a little bit later. I'm going to read a description that someone wrote about the goodness of God. The goodness of God is that which disposes Him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, full of goodwill toward men. Now let's go with those adjectives again. The goodness of God is that which disposes Him, or that which we can't say makes Him, but that's which produces and makes, helps Him to be kind. And He's so kind, our kind Heavenly Father. Cordial. You know what a cordial person is? Benevolent. You know, giving freely. Full of goodwill toward men. Now later on, we're going to pick up just briefly where we are with those adjectives and those characteristics. He is tender-hearted. And we're talking about God's goodness now. He's tender-hearted, of quick sympathy, and His unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, friendly. Is that the God that we know personally? By His nature, He is inclined to bestow blessedness, and He takes holy pleasure in the happiness of His people. He wants my best. He wants your best. And the circumstances that sometimes seem to be overwhelming, He is hoping, He is desiring. And the word hope is not a good word. We talk about God. God doesn't hope. But the desire of His heart is to produce in us the fruit, to produce in us the quality of that which He would have us to be made like unto Him. That God is good is taught or implied on every page of the Bible and must be received as an article of faith as impregnable as the throne of God. It is a foundation stone for all sound thought about God and necessary to moral sanity. To allow that God could be other than good is to deny the validity of all thought and end ill the negation of every moral judgment. The goodness of God is a drive behind all the blessings He daily bestows upon us. God created us because He felt good in His heart, and He redeemed us for the same reason. So, this morning, the attribute of God's goodness. Now, the goodness of God, it says, moves you to repentance. Repentance is not a meritorious act. In other words, because we repent isn't a reason that God reaches out to bless and to forgive. It's something that needs to be done to help to open the doors of God receiving us into His kingdom. But there's no merit of its own. We don't deserve anything. Prayer, which is so important, it has no merit on its own. It doesn't lay God under any obligation to do something because we pray. But on the other hand, we desire to pray. And praying produces in our own hearts and in the lives of others that which is best for them. Now, I was drawn to this subject a few weeks ago. And this is a testimony of God's goodness to me, and it really made me seek Him in a special way. The Scripture talks about besetting sins. I was struggling in my heart with an area that I would stumble and fall and stumble and fall. And I didn't seem to have that broken heart toward that stumbling and falling. And so one morning, it was out in the mountain, out of my little hut up in the hill, my kai, and I was having my devotions out in the porch, looking out over the mountains, and I was reading the Word, and God in a special way, so tenderly, and yet so powerfully spoke to my heart, and He broke my heart. And I cried out to God and wept, seeking to find that cleansing, in that healing, in that victory which I know is ours to have. It wasn't my repentance, it wasn't my brokenness that brought about the victory and the peace, but it was God's goodness to me. And brothers and sisters, there are times that we just sort of float along, and we know in our hearts, we know in our head, and we know in our heart too, but it doesn't become real. And so I would encourage us just to have a tender heart toward God. And in His goodness, it might be some painful things, but in His goodness, He always, as we are sincere, brings about healing and grace. Now, I mentioned before that I want to think a little bit about God's goodness and our response to other people. I titled this little bunny trail, God's Goodness, Love, and Acceptance versus Man's. When I saw how God so tenderly and so gently, so powerfully just helped to cleanse my heart and find a way. And He didn't push me off. Then I thought about the prodigal son. I thought about the Mary Magdalene. I thought about many of the people in the Scriptures. How Jesus just went the second and third and fourth mile to reach out to their hearts. Now I'm going to read what it says. A chapter we know, just a few verses from the chapter we know very well, but it's going to be in a different version because of the emphasis it puts on a few of those verses. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Now, I'm thinking about God's goodness. I'm thinking about our response to other people now. Love, our love, my love. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Now, last Sunday, I was out at CAM. Every second and fourth Sunday, they have an English service there. And there was a visiting family visiting a New Order family as a mechanic there, and they had friends there. And they had asked this visiting man to have the Sunday school lesson, and it was on forgiveness. And he struggled a little bit. He said, God has been dealing with me. I had some extreme hurts, and I talked with him afterwards and blessed him. But anyway, he was taken advantage deeply. I didn't ask him to go into detail. That wasn't important. The fact that, but he had worked through it, and he was able, I had to think about his circumstances, he was able to lay it down and to forgive and find healing. Love bears up under anything. Everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. And here is a poem or some words from Charles Wesley. O God, my hope, my heavenly rest, my all of happiness below, grant my importunate request. To me, thy goodness show. Thy beatific face display, the brightness of eternal day. Before my faith's face enlighten eyes, make all thy gracious goodness pass. Thy goodness is a sight I prize. Might I see thy smiling face, their nature in my soul proclaim, reveal thy love, thy glorious name. Charles Wesley. Now, how does God reveal his goodness? Well, we did mention this before, but we'll just elaborate a little bit more. The natural blessings. We don't need to read much at all or listen much at all when we see so many people, so many countries, so many immigrants, so many refugees, and the deep, deep hurts and needs. And I should every morning humbly thank the Lord that my needs are met. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. When we think of people without food, we think of people without shelter, when you think of people who've lost their brothers and sisters or fathers or mothers and then have gone hundreds of miles. And just very recently, I was reading about the trek from Venezuela over to Colombia. Now, they aren't as extreme as some places. Just a few years ago, Venezuela was one of the wealthiest. Things were flowing, an oil country, but their socialism put it down to almost zero. The inflation, people can hardly buy anything. And so people are going across the border. It showed a picture of two men with some kind of apparatus to pull, like a dolly of some type, and had all their belongings, and they were going. They were going, and what they did have, they left behind because it was of no value to them. But then, that's mild compared to many other countries. Oh, my thankless heart for the natural blessings. The next way he displays his goodness is by kind interventions in our life. And Psalm 107, which I read part of that, talks much about the needs that he meets. He rescues people. And each one of us have had different circumstances, and perhaps not the direst circumstances, but whatever they are, he's promised to rescue us. Now, I think about the times that God has spared my life, but then there are people whose lives haven't been spared. I think about his promises to be with us, and it would seem like there are some people that he's not with. But the verse in Romans 8, that all things work together for good, because he's good. And I need to underline that, underscore that in my own heart. All things work together for good. And then, of course, the supreme goodness is through God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And I know we're thankful for Jesus, and we often pray and thank the Lord. I'm thinking about my own heart now, but I wonder, how deeply do I mean that when I say it? Am I just repeating, like we were warned by Jesus to have repetitious prayers? I understand we don't always think about the depth of the words we're saying, and yet our dear Jesus, he took the judgment that our sins deserved upon himself. Romans 5:8 says, God proves his own love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's extravagance, God's goodness flowed to us in amazing substitution of his Son in our place on the cross. He includes 1,000 other things in the gift of himself. Romans 8:32 says, he did not spare his own Son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything that we truly need? And then in 1 Corinthians 1:20, every one of God's promise is yea and amen in Christ. We need to believe that. We need to live that way. So, finally, in response to God's goodness, well, where we have failed to be thankful, we need to repent. Where I failed to find victory, I needed to repent. And then it's so beautiful that God reminds me pretty consistently, maybe not every day, but often, about what he did in that special time. And I need to thank him. Yes, Lord, I want to walk in the way that you're directing me. We need to rest in his goodness when adversity comes. There will be adversity, but we can rest there. When we rest, then the stress of life is taken away. And finally, in conclusion, we need to be like John. When we see what God has done, let's be like John. When I saw him, our dear Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And then that's the first chapter. Then in chapter 22, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and a prophecy of this book. And then again, when John heard these things, he said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. God is good. You know, we taught our children early on, say that little prayer. God is great and God is good. We thank thee for our food. By thy hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. We still can pray that prayer. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. Thank you for jarring a bit of memories of long ago there in the trip to New York that never became fruitful. In that part, I have some vivid memories of that day likewise. Well, our hearts are full this morning and overflowing with the goodness of God. It was so sweet during the night to wake up and just have a totally overflowing heart and mind as the memories of the day so richly flooded my soul. And we'll hope to hear more about that later. All right, but we were truly blessed, overwhelmingly blessed again yesterday. Thankful for the opportunity that we still have to go. The authorities just let us go unhindered the whole day long without any question, drive right by. We had to move things a little bit so you could get by with their car there. That was a blessing.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.